Live from the WTAD studios in the Lincoln Douglas Building in downtown Quincy, it's time to pull up a chair and assemble today's WTAD News Roundtable.
Late to this party on this frequency, on these airwaves, but that's a winner.
Yeah, that was a winner. Exciting game.
And I noticed that both of us haven't changed clothes since yesterday.
Slept in it, yeah. Are you kidding me? Long night, late night.
Yeah, yeah.
I stayed up too late watching the post-game celebration, mm-hmm, too. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, I'll take tired. Because I'm so gosh darn happy.
Oh,
just don't please be like the hockey players. Don't cuss on live.
Boy, they dropped the F-bomb a few times on air.
Oh, and they were
mean. Why was that mic even on?
Yeah,
I just don't get that.
You would think that people who are
especially
in a championship game. Yeah, the thing is, it's not a new occurrence. I mean, when the Super Bowl happens, the exact same thing occurs. Any championship situation, it seems like that same thing happens. You would think that the networks would be savvy to this and have some type of a workaround or protocol in place or have somebody with a real quick finger on the mute button on the delay so that you could prevent things like that. Or maybe they like getting letters and sitting down with the FCC. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's been this way for, it's the 21st century, and it seems like it's kind of been that way for most of the 21st century now.
But right? The thing is, you could tell that the hockey players were Canadian, because immediately after they did that, they were profusely apologized.
Well, congratulations, St. Louis Blues. We're not the only ones who are a little haggard this morning, but it's a good.
Real quick, because I know you got a guest in the second half. The parade to honor the Blues will be noon on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, rain's in the forecast, but the parade's going to march down Market Street and end up Broadway. So they'll have a rally at the Gateway Arch following the parade.
Yeah.
Saturday, for those that want to travel to St. Louis, bring your umbrella because it's supposed to rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Noon, it all begins. The big party will continue.
Did you know anybody who was down either at Enterprise or at Bush? Yeah, it turns out a good friend of my son's, and my son didn't even know at the time, but they drove down and got in and watched it in the rain at Bush with everybody.
Yeah, 25,000 they ended up selling for Bush.
Outstanding.
Sold out the Enterprise Center. Ballpark Village was packed, of course.
Trying to remember, I know that a lot of times during championship runs that when the team is out of town, they'll open up the venue and have the fan. But to open up a secondary stadium to let fans come, I don't
know.
Okay, I was just trying to remember because I don't remember happening previously.
Going back, I guess they wanted it at home in both 2011, didn't they? Yeah, they won at home.
Yeah, the Cardinals did.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. And again, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues, little Canadian organization.
I got a little snippet of a celebration after the break.
Okay. And Steve mentioned we have a guest. Ted Dabrowski from Wire Points is going to be joining us on the back half of the show today. He and John Klingner put together a piece that points out that the, and I'm using air quotes here, balanced budget from Springfield once again really isn't balanced, despite what legislators are saying. And Ted and John aren't the only ones claiming that the balancing act is not as balanced as they say. Sheila Weinberg at the Tribune is questioning it. Bill Bergman at Truth in Accounting Research is questioning it. Our pal Adam Schuster at Illinois Policy is questioning it. So Dabrowski and Klingner certainly not alone in their assertions this morning. So we'll talk with Ted about what is out of balance and what that means moving forward. And where is all of this transparency that Governor Pritzker has been touting since being on the campaign trail? So we'll get into that on the back half. We're way behind. In with the latest from the WTAD newsroom. Say good morning to a groggy Scott Hardy.
Good morning, Quaid. Good morning, everybody. A Navajo, Missouri couple died yesterday afternoon when their vehicle was hit by a semi on eastbound U.S. 36 at Monroe City. The Missouri State Highway Patrol identifies the couple as 77-year-old Janie Goodwin and 72-year-old Earl Goodwin. The patrol says in a statement that Janie Goodwin was driving and trying to make a left turn from the right lane. A Freightliner driven by 34-year-old Lance Rogers of Bentleyville, Pennsylvania, hit the Goodwin's SUV in the driver's side. Janie Goodwin was pronounced dead at the scene. Earl Goodwin was pronounced dead at a Columbia hospital. Palmyra School District teachers will get a raise next year, and district residents won't see an increased tax rate. Palmyra School Board Tuesday night approved the district's $13.4 million budget for the upcoming school year. Statement from the district says the district's operating levy of $3.34 will stay the same for the new school year. Teachers will see a $450 increase in their base salary in addition to a $400 vertical step on the salary schedule based on experience. That step is for eligible teachers. Non-certified staff will get a 1.36% raise in addition to their step, and 12-month non-certified non-supervisory positions will also get pay for 10 days of vacation. Taylor Missouri Bridge over the Fabius River is going to be replaced by this fall. Marion County Commissioners earlier this week recently accepted a bid from Bly Construction for just over $884,000. That's about $300,000 lower than what they estimated. That bridge was deemed dangerous back in 2017 and was closed. According to Bly's contract, the bridge will be completed in 90 days. That means it could be open as soon as October. In other news to tell you about this morning as well, a Hannibal man, one of three people arrested Tuesday after trying to flee from numerous law enforcement agencies, have been formally charged in two counties. Chad Brooks was charged Wednesday in Marion County with one count of stealing a firearm, and in Rawls County with one count of assault against a law enforcement officer. Brooks and two others were arrested Tuesday afternoon in Monroe City after first trying to elude Hannibal police. They tried to stop Brooks after he allegedly stole a firearm and followed him and two others into Monroe City. Brooks is charged in Rawls County because during part of the chase, when his vehicle was on Business Highway 36, he allegedly turned around at a dead end and tried to hit the HPD vehicle head-on. Brooks's two passengers, Kellen Allison and Brittany Chamberlain, are both being held in the Marion County Jail. Allison's held on a Marion County warrant for a drug possession count from May. Charges are expected to be filed against Chamberlain. Brooks is also in the Marion County Jail. He's being held on a total of $110,000 bond. He'll be in Marion County Court Friday and in Rawls County Court on June 26th. That is the latest in local news. Of course, we'll have much more for you throughout the afternoon right here on WTAD.com and on our social media pages, including Twitter and Facebook.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Mm-hmm. It's 10:15. We'll take a time out. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Ted Dabrowski from Wire Points next on the News Roundtable.
Shoots one. Score! Baumeister! It was deflected in front by O'Reilly, and it becomes 1-0. The Blues with the lead.
Doc on the call. That's the only highlight they've played on Fox all morning long.
Yeah. All right. I'm just pleased. It's a good day. Pleased to be joined by Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com this morning on the News Roundtable. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you guys. Thank you.
Governor Pritzker is quoted as saying at the very top of your article, for the first time in decades, we've balanced our budget here in Illinois. You completely turn around and say?
Lie, and more budget lies.
Well, you're not alone. As I mentioned going into the break, there are several people pointing out that this budget isn't actually balanced. But that's not anything new. This is becoming the way we do things in the land of Lincoln. Can you explain the differences in how Governor Pritzker and the legislators in Springfield are positioning this and how the actuaries are seeing it?
Yeah, first of all, like you said, it's not anything new. Illinois did not end up with the most pension debt in the country by being honest about its budgets. It doesn't have the worst credit rating in the nation by being honest about its debts. This has been going on a long time, at least 30 years on a big scale. And so it's not surprising that we got to this point. Now, what's different about it this time is that we just had 4 years of a fiscal mess, right? A disaster in all kinds of ways under Governor Rauner and his battles with Mike Madigan. And so it's a little easier for a guy like Pritzker to get away with this time around because people were so tired and fatigued that just getting a budget where with both sides, unfortunately, the Republicans singing Kumbaya as well, allows them to celebrate. But the reality is when you look at the government numbers that Pritzker's putting out versus what the actuaries say, the guys who actually calculate the numbers, there's a big discrepancy, and the truth is Illinois is billions in the red.
Our guest this morning, Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com. You point out that the pension payments are being shorted, and that also isn't anything new. But per the state Supreme Court, these pension payments are sacrosanct. They shall be paid first. Is the governor in violation of that ruling? I mean, what do AFSCME and SEIU and teachers' retirement system, what do they have to say about this?
Well, this is what's interesting, too, is that the balance is budget just because the lawmakers say it's balanced. They can say it's balanced because they say it's balanced. They set the laws as to what the pension payments should be, and as long as they make those payments, no matter how small they are, if they make them, they get to say it's balanced. But the actuaries are calculating what should be going in there to get these pension funds back to healthy again. These are the worst funded, sickest pensions in the nation, and so to fix that, we should be putting much more into it if we're serious about funding it. And if we were serious about that, we'd be putting at least $5 billion more in today's budget than we are now. So at a minimum, just for what the actuaries say, we'd be putting in $5 billion more. Or said another way, it's at least $5 billion out of bounds.
And as you mentioned, you could probably only get away with this once, but if you try and look through the lens of today into the future, financially and politically, they might be patting each other on the back and saying good job in Springfield today and singing Kumbaya, but things are going to get a lot more difficult. Of course, short of some magical windfall that I don't think recreational marijuana or expanded sports gaming will cover that. One of the things you point out, and this is a heavy statement in your article, Illinois right now is not unlike the, and I'm quoting you, not unlike the financial deadbeat that never pays the minimum payment on his credit card, and as a result, the debts keep growing.
You know, it's exactly what Illinois is doing, what our politicians are doing. And if you look at a MasterCard or Visa or whatever bank, they'll allow a deadbeat to be a deadbeat for a long time as long as that deadbeat is still manageable. But once that deadbeat crosses the line, they come in and take away the credit card and they come and take away your stuff. And I would argue that we're getting close to that. I think this is really a depressing discussion, right, for the listeners of this show. But if there's any good news is that at some point the financial markets, the bondholders, others that lend money to Illinois are going to say, all right, you're done shorting us. We're done giving you money. And that will finally bring about the fiscal responsibility and the reforms that we need in Illinois. But right now the politicians are still playing that game of paying less than the minimum payment.
What's the terminology we should be listening for? What should perk our ears up from those people to let the legislators know that they're serious and that they've reached that point where being deadbeat isn't acceptable anymore?
Right. Well, part of the problem is that, if you look at the financial markets, if you look at the Great Recession, unfortunately, the bad guys all work together in cahoots, right? So in the Great Recession, it was the banks, it was the rating agencies, it was the home lenders, the whole real estate market. They all worked together, and they kept something going for far too long. And then eventually, everything that was rated AAA became junk, and everybody lost a lot of money. It's going to look like that here in Illinois. Unfortunately, the rating agencies still haven't rated Illinois junk. So that's going to be the number one thing that anybody should listen for. When we become junk, maybe it's going to take a recession to get there, then the bondholders will say, uh-oh, we need to watch out for Illinois. A lot of them won't be able to lend to Illinois going forward. And so that'll be step number one is we become junk rated, and that's when you become a financial deadbeat plus.
Ted Dabrowski joining us on the News Roundtable this morning. Truth in Accounting's Bill Bergman said he's got a quote here from another piece. Over the past 10 years, the funding levels for the state's retirement systems has deteriorated dramatically and are among the lowest in the nation. With respect to the state pension plans, the state's contributions to the retirement systems, while in conformity with state law, have been less than the contributions necessary to fully fund the retirement systems as calculated by the actuaries for the retirement systems. The SEC at some point is going to want to look into this because previously the state has been charged with fraud. Is that something that it might come around again?
Well, you know, it came up a few years ago because you had the state claiming balanced budgets, but they weren't being very honest in their financial documents when they borrowed money from the bond market. And when you borrow money from the bond market, you've got to be super, super honest, super, super complicit and straight. And what the SEC found is that we were one of two states that got busted. I think it was New Jersey that was the other, about not telling the truth. And so what's interesting is, despite the fact that a guy like Pritzker and others will say we have a balanced budget now, if you go to the bond documents, it'll say things like Illinois doesn't have a balanced budget because they know they can't lie to the financial market. Then the state will get sued and hammered. So Bill is right to bring that up from Truth in Accounting. He's spot on that politicians will tell the people one thing, but they can't tell the financial markets the same lies because they'll get busted.
Should we be paying attention to Comptroller Susana Mendoza on how she talks about this particular budget?
Well, about the budget, no, I'm not sure she's going to have much to say. She probably can't stray too far from the party line. I think where Mendoza gets interesting is for residents in Quincy and local governments, because the same problem we're having at the state and the same lies that we're having at the state level are happening in Quincy and every city in Illinois where the local pensions are just as broke. And Mendoza has this power to start intercepting monies that the state would normally give to a city like Quincy. That she can start intercepting it and giving it to the pension plans, the police and fire pension plans. That's the interesting part that we may see at some point, because the cities around Illinois are just as sick as the state is when it comes to these debts.
Yeah, and the state is trying to shed some of its own bottom-line problems onto specific cities and municipalities and counties and going, look, we're doing better. Well, you're not – I mean, it's still the residents are going to have to pay for this. You're just pushing it off onto those more local areas as opposed to the state itself.
Yeah, and what's sad about this whole thing is if you look at the numbers, and you know this is really, really wonky stuff, but if you look at the numbers and how much more taxpayers have been putting into pensions, right, through higher property taxes, through higher income taxes, or it keeps eating up more of the budget. So more of people's tax dollars are going to pensions and less to potholes and to schools and things like that. Despite the fact they put so much more in, the debts keep getting worse and worse and worse. They get bigger and bigger. It's almost like an endless hole that we just keep putting in money in it, and it just gets sucked away, and we have to keep putting in more. And that's what we're seeing in cities across the country, across the state.
One final thing, and I know we're running short on time. We had Representative McSweeney on, and he said that there was no revenue estimate before this budget got put into place. Isn't that supposed to, by law, the revenue estimate has to come first?
Yeah, you know, the revenue estimates are very important, and there's so many games being played. What's sad about the revenue estimate, right, so we're supposed to know how much money we're going to have in the budget before we decide how much we're going to spend. Unfortunately, that's just one other mess, but the revenue estimate is relatively – the problem with the revenue estimate is relatively small compared to the problem we have with these pensions and these retiree health care debts, because those are billions in the making. We're talking about probably being $8 billion short of those pension and retirement debts, where, of course, the revenue estimates create problems too, but not nearly as big.
We encourage you to check out Ted's piece at wirepoints.com about the governor disregarding the state actuary's claims on this budget being balanced. Ted, you're always welcome on the show. Thanks for being here this morning.
Quay, can I make one last comment?
Sure.
Everything I'm saying is people should get super engaged, because our politicians are going to kick the can and make a bigger problem for us. As listeners, as Illinoisans, we need to get engaged and fight back and push back and demand truth, not lies.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Back on again soon.
Take care.
It's Ted Dabrowski from WirePoints.com. We'll be back on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You should be here, too.
The News Roundtable will reconvene tomorrow morning at 10:06 a.m. on AM 930 WTAD. Podcast available online at WTAD.com.